Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us this beautiful Tuesday evening. And I'm telling you, you could have been doing anything else, but you chose to join us. And for that, I'm grateful. I tell you, we have a topic tonight, transitioning to your new normal. Transitioning to your new normal. So whatever your new normal is, it's time to make that transition and make it smoothly. I tell you all the time, it's time to stop existing and start living the life that God created for you to live. So with that said, the topic tonight, again, is transitioning into your new normal. So guys, go ahead and share with your friends and on Facebook, text messages, whatever. Let them know that we've gone live because they don't want to miss one moment of the show. But before we jump into the show, I want to thank our sponsors who have been beautiful, beautiful people and businesses to support us on Fire to Inspire Network. We have Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, who is the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. And her book is a live account of how God delivered her son from a 15-year addiction to alcohol. So I tell you, we thank Evangelist Alexandra Townsend for supporting this broadcast. Then we have Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's the sound. Third Heaven Sound, they make beautiful, beautiful jazz sounds, jazz songs. If you like music, guys, go out to Reverb Nation or CD Baby and listen to that wonderful, wonderful tunes and tones by Vincent Lynch and Third Heaven Sound. We have Unique Expression by Design, where Angelise Washington takes care of all of your needs, whether it's a personal need for your family reunion or if it's for your business. She takes care of everything from t-shirts to cups to pens, journals, whatever it is that you need customized, she will make your desire a complete reality. She's done it for me. And then we also have Roz Hair and Beauty Bar. Roz Hair and Beauty Bar is, I'm telling you, your one-stop shop to all of your hair care and beauty needs, from everything from relaxers, perms, braids, sew-ins, lashes, makeup, and much, much more. So many people have asked me, I say, is Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, girl? So if you, whatever it is that you need, lock maintenance, makeup, lashes, relaxers, whatever, Roz Hair and Beauty Bar can take care of that for you. And that's our phone number is 404-599-3712. Again, that's 404-599-3712. Roz will take care of your hair care and beauty needs. And we have we also have Gems Inc. They are your girls empowered, mentoring, and supported organization dedicated to providing mentoring and support for teens. I tell you, awesome, awesome our organization. Then we have Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea. Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea is coming up on August the 26th here in the Atlanta area. And your host, your girl herself, yours truly, will be one of the hosts. And I'm so excited about Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea. The tickets are only $20. You can go out to eventbrite.com and you can purchase your tickets. They're going to have a fashion show, tea, motivational moments. I mean, this is going to be such an awesome, awesome show. And for only $20, you cannot beat it. Again, it is Saturday on August 26th at 3 p.m. at John Burdine Neighborhood Facility at 215 Lakewood Way, Atlanta, 30315. Again, go out to Eventbrite and go purchase your ticket and support Lee and Lee Fashion and Tea. I will be one of the MCs and hosts that evening. Looking forward to it. And I think I'm going to be modeling some of the attire as well. So not really in the fashion show, but I think I'm going to be modeling as I'm speaking. So I'm looking forward to that. These people are so anointed at what they do. And then Yama is the stylist. And when I tell you, it's styled by Yama. Her name is Miriama Lee. But the styles by Yama, I'm telling you, you would not know that you didn't get it off of a rack at Macy's or Nordstrom. So, guys, you know, go and let any of our sponsors know that you heard it here on Fire to Inspire. And we are continuing our $25 a month plan. So if you want just to get your business out, events out, that's it. That's all it is, $25 for the entire month, letting people know about your businesses and services. All right, guys, so we are going to go ahead and transition into our show tonight. The topic is transitioning to your new normal. And we have some awesome, awesome therapists on the line with us. We have a licensed mental health counselor. And so we'll let them introduce themselves because I don't want to put y'all to sleep. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. But welcome to On Fire to Inspire, Ms. Genevra Pearson and Ms. Patricia Timmerman. Welcome of Advocate to Create. Welcome, ladies. How are you all this evening?
Hi, we're doing very well. Thank you so much, by the way, for having this platform and opening this up to us. I really want to thank you, not just for myself, but I imagine for everyone that is listening to this. So my name is Patricia Timmerman. My colleague, Genevra Pearson, is here with us as well.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome, welcome, ladies. And so, you guys, I want you all to introduce yourselves because a lot of times, like I said, if I read your bio, it's going to put people to sleep because even though you all are they can't feel that beautiful spirit that you all have. So, you know, tell them who you are, what you do.
My name is Patricia. It's kind of like a long name afterwards, right? Licensed mental health counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist, national board certified counselor. Now, all of these names simply mean that I'm able to look at other things from different perspectives with the people that I work with to be able to help them process the different frameworks they have, their different realities. So when we talk about counseling, therapy, that psychotherapy, different names that we use for the same profession, I guess. So what we're here to do is to help empower the people that we work with to be able to process their mental health and to have that mental health hygiene that will really allow us to feel good about ourselves.
I definitely agree. So I'm Genevra Pearson, as Miss Aaliyah Butler has talked about, and my colleague Patricia, and so I'm a marriage and family therapist. And exactly what Patricia talked about is we work with all clients from all backgrounds, from all different experiences. We work with individuals, we work with couples, we work with families. And we have our special niches. You know, I work with a lot of clients that come in that are struggling with where depression has moved in with them, anxiety has moved into it with them. I work with family systems, and it's all about, for me, is about privileging, you know, the clients, their story, their narratives over what society says, how they're supposed to be, who they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to think, the milestones that they're supposed to have reached at this point in their lives. I really work with them identifying what works for them, what best fits them, as well as kind of tracking some of those emotional transgenerational patterns that a lot of times we're passed on stuff from our parents, our great-grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. They're kind of their unfinished stuff, and that stuff is passed on to us. And we, you know, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not knowingly, and we're kind of left with this stuff. So from a strength-based approach, collaborative approach, me and Patricia definitely work on providing a lot of knowledge and educating the public on mental health awareness. There's a huge stigma around that, and especially in certain communities, to bring awareness to mental health and the impact that it has on an individual and their families and the other systems they're a part of, so that they can feel empowered and they can not only advocate for themselves, but they can advocate for others. So that's a really huge component of what we do. in regards to Advocate to Create.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So you ladies are helping people walk in their freedom and liberty in their lives and walking into this newness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you think about the things that you learn in school, for example, and I'll take school because we all go through it, and we learn math, and we learn all the different academic settings, and then we know that we need to learn finances. Yeah, we have no idea how to deal with something that is ever present in our life, our emotions, that oftentimes they take over and it leads to those impulsive moments. And if we're able to understand how to have a relationship with our anxiety, with our depression that everybody feels, it would really mm-hmm. help us in being able to, okay, so I know math, I know vocabulary, I know my grammar, I also know how to deal with this anxiety that's always coming over, being a performance anxiety, being it dealing with different social situations. Now, the topic of mm-hmm. today is transition to the new normal. Now, transition is a broad term, right? And there's so many aspects to it. Now, Geneva Express, some of the things that we work with, and one of our niches is that loss, grief. Whenever if we move from one place to another, well, our normal from where we were is different from the normal we're going to be. So there is mm-hmm. a part of loss. When we're talking mm-hmm. about domestic violence, somebody who has gone through domestic violence to be a survivor of it, it also has that part where you do have that relationship, that you did have that relationship. So oftentimes the survivors of domestic violence feel a shyness or feel that they cannot grieve the relationship because there's this societal pressure of saying, well, but this person was abusive to you, but the life mm-hmm. that you have the right to miss that. So how to be mm-hmm. able to have a harmonious relationship with that loss as you transition to a new normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think to add to that, Patricia, is, you know, the identity, the fact of that, you know, one of my amazing mentors to this day, Dr. Sylvia Reyes, she's, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that she's instilled within, you know, me, and I can definitely speak for Patricia, is that this idea mm-hmm. that the most challenging, most difficult relationship you will ever have will not be with that boyfriend or that girlfriend or with that teacher, that coach, with that mother, father, grandfather, whomever. It will always be with self. And so as mm-hmm. it relates to transitioning, how does self transition, right? The loss of self, the gaining of self, the transformation, the changing of self, because we are a part of the system in which that is evolving around us. So so self is, you know, when, you know, we talk about self-care, right? And we talk about this thing as though it's this doing of going to get your nails done, going getting your hair done, you know, taking a mental health day off. But truly, you know, I talk about self-care from a perspective of managing self. How is one able to manage one's own thoughts and one's own emotions, especially when you're going through a lot of different transitions through life, whether that be a relationship, whether that what Patricia talked about, or whether that be a new job, a new venture, something different, going from being uncomfortable to comfortable. That in itself is a transitional process.
Absolutely. Especially as you're saying, like being with self, sometimes, especially with the anxiety that comes, if it's the transition through having lost somebody to maybe to suicide or to cancer or transition to a new place or different jobs or whatever the type mm-hmm. of transition is, oftentimes we try not to be with ourselves, right? Because we have so much anxiety mm-hmm. that comes from that. So the last thing I want to do is be in the car when I'm not talking to anybody and I'm stuck in traffic and my thoughts are just coming. So I try to like push them aside. One of the things that we do and that we're able to with our clients is, okay, instead of pushing it outside, because the more you push, the more it kind of pushes back, right? Mm-hmm. Let's process it. Let's be able to talk about whatever it is that is kind of pushing against you. So instead of always trying to fight against self, you're fighting not against self, but against the thoughts, and then you create a harmonious relationship. So now I am comfortable with being with myself. One of the things that I see a lot with people who are grieving different losses, the loss to suicide, for example, is I hate being in the car alone. I hate thinking because all I want to do is not think about it. And then as we go forward, I love being in the car alone. It's the only place I get to think. So you see that transition happen as we implement mental health coping skills, as Ginevra said, health, self-care, how to be able to allow myself to get to the point where I'm comfortable thinking and being with self. I feel like Ginevra and I just went for it, Aaliyah. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I just thought about that. You know, people don't think about the thoughts, you know, having your own thoughts and just thinking and listening to your thoughts. People don't, you know, you never think about people not wanting to be by themselves or listen to self. That's never something you really truly think about, you know?
Absolutely. So it's interesting because please go ahead.
No, go ahead with your go ahead.
No, I was gonna say now you're talking about thinking. So Ginevra talked about the way that she sees things from a systemic way, and I always play with her. I say you look at things from the outside in, and I look at things from the inside out, which makes the perfect combination. But now that you're talking about thinking, so one of the things that I really work with is a model called cognitive behavioral therapy. And the whole idea of it is what are our thinking, our different types of thoughts. The way that we think of an event really shapes our emotional or physical reaction. So, for example, think about, if I have, if I'm trying to think of an example, I'll use something kind of, I was just teaching a class to kids earlier today, to teenagers about tests. I'll talk about test anxiety. If you think of a test and your thought about that event is, holy crap, I don't know anything. The thought, the way that you look at that creates that anxiety, right? So now I always ask my clients or my students, where do you feel the anxiety? And oftentimes they tell me on my chest, oh, my God, my heart starts pounding so much. And then the behavior that comes from it is that impulsive behavior where you either give up, you can't concentrate. But then I talk to them. I'm like, okay, so let's focus on the thinking, which Aaliyah was what really triggered me when you said that word. Instead of thinking about the test as in, holy crap, I'm going to fail, you've studied for it. So let's shift just the way we look at things. And I usually give them a mantra. Like, I'm going to do the best I can with the knowledge I have. Like, hold on to that mantra. And mantras can be different things. For me, my mantra is be here, be present. So when you look at an event and you think about it in a different way, now my body is not reacting. I do not feel that chest, that thing in my chest, because our minds and our bodies, they are connected. And now I'm able to behave in a more deliberate way. So the way that we see things, the way that we think about them, really does impact how we react to it, especially through a transitional period. When Ginevra talked about Dr. Sylvia Reyes, who was also my mentor, one of the things she used to tell me, and I always carry that with me, is with awareness comes action. And with Advocate to Create, our mantra is knowledge is power, which they are very connected. When you become aware of how you think about things, how you view things, you're able to act upon it. You're able to say, no, this is not my true reality. This is not how I want to see this. And you can incorporate what we call a cognitive shift to be able to change the way you see things. That will change the way you react emotionally, physiologically, and behaviorally.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Shifting your thinking, being intentional about your thinking. Wow, that's good stuff.
And I wish you could take credit for it, but you know, it's already taking credit for, you know.
I know, right? It's a process, but once you get the hang of it, oh my God, it really helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Wow. I like that. Having control over your thinking, not allowing the negative to overpower your positive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, love it. Love
yeah,
it.
I like to like the untamable. We usually think that emotions, we can never control them. So it's okay. Mm-hmm. How can I find a way to at least have a good relationship with it? When I can say, okay, I'll mm-hmm. honor you today. Like I'll mm-hmm. honor this anxiety or this sadness right now, but I get to shift it when mm-hmm. I want to because now I'm going to manage it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Patricia, you made me think about the example. I don't know, Leah, if you've ever, and Patricia, have you ever seen the show Hoarders? People
no.
that, you know, they have their houses and
yes.
and they have lots of stuff and,
yes,
you know, sometimes
yes.
there's mold and, you know, lots of clothing and items and things that are piled in the house. I like to use this example. Exactly, right? Animal stuff that you see up on the rug, you're like, wait a minute. I did not recognize that animal.
Yes.
You know, it has all kinds of stuff. And so you go in there, you never know what you're going to find. But, so with hoarders, I like to use that example to kind of illustrate, I guess, kind of paint a picture of what Patricia is saying, and is that your body from the tops of your head to the soles of your feet is your home. It is your home. You are a landlord. You are a tenant. I mean, you're a landlord, excuse me. You're a landlord, and you operate. You own, and you have the deed, and you have, you know, there's no more mortgage payments. You know, you just do maintenance on the insurance to ensure everything is working and functioning properly. This is your home. And with that, a lot of times, kind of from the outside in, you have so many different influences coming in, positive and negative influences, whether it be from media, social media, whether it be from family influence, whether it be from friendships, employment, educational, academia. So all of these different areas, emotions, thoughts, all of that stuff is coming at you a mile, you know, millions and millions in a mile a minute. And so from that, there's going to be some stuff that gets in, right? Some stuff that we allow to move in. You know, like that cousin that, you know, you have to come out of town, and then, you know, they say they're in town, and then they want to know, can they, you know, use your couch or your spare bedroom for a couple of days just for the weekend. But then the weekend ends, and then they don't leave. That person, you know, it's you know, and after a while, they start to bring more and more stuff in. And then they don't clean up after themselves. And then there's roaches. And then there's ants. And then there's dirty clothes. And then there's all this other stuff that kind of comes with lots of extra noise and very little privacy. That's kind of how I like to look at the negative stuff that comes in, right? All of that, whether it's negative thoughts, whether it's negative emotions, whether it's influences and things like that, that's all the negative stuff. And don't get it wrong. Don't get me twisted here. You know, at the end of the day, disappointment is real. Being embarrassed is real. Being frustrated is real. Being angry is real. Being annoyed is real. Being let down, that stuff is real. It's very much so real. It's the things that we feel. And those things are to be honored, right? But it's not meant for those things to fester and to then determine how it goes from it being a moment that we honor to it being the whole day, to being the whole week, to being the whole month, the whole year, the whole life, and sitting there. So a lot of times we forget that just like how we are the homeowners of this body, that includes mind, body, soul, we can also kick some of that stuff out. So though that cousin that came in for the weekend and wants to hang out on the couch and is now week 2, 3, 4, we can kick their behind out just like how we can choose to kick out the negative stuff that's no longer beneficial for us, that no longer serves a purpose for us. And those are the negative thoughts and the feelings and the ideologies that kind of creeps itself in. It's just knowing, do you have the power and the choice to do so? Because the only thing that can tear your day up and allow your day to be tore up and allow this moment to then become a huge volcano is you. It sounds like it's cousin and auntie and sister and brother and the not being overlooked at your job for the promotion or not getting married when you thought you were going to be married and having a baby when you thought you were going to have a baby and all these, you know, monumental transitional periods in your life. But it's really you. It just looks like it's something else. So when we can remember that we can kick this stuff out, just like how those hoarders on that show, they're able to go in and they have to actively clean that stuff out. They have to do some of that dirty work with assistance from other people and other places and other resources, that you can get to a place where, you know, what we call homeostasis, or a place of being able to function up and get to your perfect world, the world that fits for you, the life that fits for you.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. And as you were thinking, I couldn't help but to think during this transition period, when we are the landlord of our homes and it always looks like the other homes are painted so nicely and it all looks so beautiful, I like to think we all have our masks on. So when I look at somebody and I'm looking at different people who are in my life, I'm often looking at their masks. I'm looking at what they are showing me, but I don't really know what's behind that mask. Just like if I'm the landlord, I might see the door, but I don't know what's going on behind the door. So we often feel like we're alone, like I'm the only person going through this. So-and-so look like they're doing fine. This person was also fired from the job, just like I was fired from the job, and now I'm having to struggle, but they don't look like they're struggling. They look like they got their stuff together. The truth is, though, that they are probably thinking the same thing about you. People walk into the office, one of the things that I ask them to do is, when you feel comfortable, to please put the mask at the door. And before you leave, we'll put your mask back on. But it's really difficult for us to be able to feel vulnerable and feel that we have others, or that we feel normalized, when all you see are people's masks, and so we don't want to allow ourselves to feel vulnerable or to be vulnerable. I'll give an example. So one of the things that I work closely with and is really dear to my heart is working with people who lost others to suicide. Now, in the United States alone, there are about 46,000 suicides a year. Now, we call people grieving the suicide survivors of suicide. That means, let's say one person has six significant others, parents, siblings, husband, wife, children. Six is just the rough number that's given. That means that there are about 200,000 survivors of suicide in the U.S. alone. One of the things that I tell the people that I work with is the likelihood that you will go to the bar and say, I'm a survivor of suicide, and somebody will say, so am I, is really like you're not alone. There is a big chance because there are 250,000 survivors of suicide a year. But people always feel that they are the only ones that are going through it. And so they don't share, especially because of the taboo nature of it. So we always are wearing this mask. And how often do I hear a survivor telling me, once I told somebody that I lost a significant other to suicide, they opened it to me and we created a bond. So sometimes taking that mask off, which you always want to be prepared to do that, but sometimes it can really allow you to create new bonds and find the community that will help you through that transition.
So lately, what do you all tend to get the most type of, the most that you're getting and you're doing more counseling on? And helping people through it, the survivor of a suicide, someone who's lost family members due to illness. What seems to be the major thing that you're doing, that you're assessing and assisting with these days?
I think at least for me, it's more of, I get a lot of clients that are struggling with and dealing with a lot of anxiety. And what's so interesting about therapy is that what a person's been struggling with something, right? Or something's been kind of on a person's mind. They've been kind of dealing with it day to day. They've maybe tried different attempts to kind of resolve whatever the issue is, and then they somehow end up, you know, on my phone line or our phone line or at our front door in some way, shape, or form in the room with us. And a lot of times what a person presents with, what they think is really happening and going on with them, is really not it. It's just a small piece of it. It's actually a lot of times much greater than that. And so a lot of times, you know, for example, I got a new client last week, and they came in and they're, you know, talking about, you know, they're a couple, you know, they're a couple and they're wanting to work on couple issues. They're not seeing eye to eye. The communication is, you know, off for them. It's not negative. I mean, it's not positive. It's more of negative communication. You know, they've been together for some years and just things are just not, you know, it's not flowing how it was in the very beginning. And so they're trying to get back to see what went wrong and, you know, how can you get there? Of course, each of them are playing the blame game a bit, right? Not taking as much responsibility as one should, or seeing one's own responsibility in the relationship. But, you know, after sitting with them for a little bit and asking more questions, what we kind of came up collaboratively is that really it has what they came in for. It's actually much bigger than that. It started with a lot of, you know, family issues and one's own, each of their own individualized families, because before you're a couple, you were a separate self. And a lot of times we go from being I to we, and then we forget about I. But I plays a huge component in when one's truly a functional solid self, meaning that one is able to truly manage their own emotions in their own stuff, be aware of one's own thoughts and one's own emotions and one, you know, your own way of being in the world and exploring the world and things like that. You know, we come to find out that really if we don't work on those relationships with what you got going on with mom here, and why and how come mom is still being treating you, you know, like you're a 10-year-old kid when you're a full-fledged adult and you give her that power. You freely give her that power. Even at moments of where you're trying to pull back, it somehow they still get that. That impacts a lot of you know, a person say in their own relationship. So for me, a lot of times it's what a person presents with is typically just a drop in the bucket of really what's happening, what's going on. Now, don't mind you, me and Patricia don't have magic wands, we don't have fairy dust, and we don't have the answers, right? That's not our role here. Our role here is to truly be an observant piece in people's lives and to be able to wonder, is there another perspective, not the perspective, but just another perspective that can perhaps be looked at from another angle in a safe place that we haven't been given the freedom to do so. So I get a lot of when we move away from the small drops of the bucket and look at kind of the larger systems, kind of like what Patricia was saying, the outside in, I get a lot of issues of anxiety and not being able to manage and sit with self, the amount of anxiety that sometimes the world gives us and sometimes that we give ourselves. So I get a lot of those, a lot of issues dealing with depression, grief, loss. Those are probably my main ones that I get. The issues that come across my desk. I don't know about you, Patricia.
So with me, because of working a lot with grief and domestic violence end up being the two that really come into play. And there are different facets to them, because for example, with grief, a lot of the time there is the longing for the individual. Sometimes you feel anger depending on the type of grief. When we're thinking of grief to suicide, one of the most prominent aspects to it is that guilt that comes with it. So a lot of the time, remember that thinking, that whole thinking is, if I just had done something different, the outcome would be different. So it has to be, well, let's see what is a speculation and what are the facts. So usually what I do with my clients, the people that I see, is, for every what if or I didn't do this, I want you to write down what you did do. I remember this one individual, she had lost her mother, and she was just telling me all of the different things that she did to be with the mother, to be present with the mother, to help the mother. But then when the mother did die by suicide, right afterwards, in that same conversation, she started saying she didn't do enough. I'm like, oh, my God, you just gave me a laundry list of all the things you did do. Now, guilt is something that is very, especially in this type of grief, it's normal because there's no one to blame. When it's a homicide, we blame the perpetrator. When it's an illness, we blame the illness. When it's a car accident, we blame whoever was driving that caused the accident. But with suicide, we don't know who to blame, so we kind of take it upon ourselves. Now, think about this. Since we were little, every time we fill up the blank, we always put a negative spin to it. So with kids, when they don't know about their parents are getting divorced, but we as parents, we don't want to tell the kids what's going on. But kids figure out that things are not working well. And because they don't mm-hmm. know what it is, they fill in the blank in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to give a really silly analogy, and it's an anecdotal one. But I was in a family trip with my family, my significant other, and we are at the pool, and my significant other went to like three rows. There were three rows of chairs, and he went to the third row from the pool. Now, I'm thinking, oh, my God, what happened? Like, is he mad at us? Why doesn't he want to stay with us? Oh, my God, that is so messed up. You know, why is he not here with my family? But instead of just going all crazy, I decided to go to him, and I said, you know, I want to ask you, like, why did you go so away from us? And he looked at me and he's like, away? Like, I just look up and you guys are right there. I just want a shade to read my book. So the unknown, when you don't know what is going on, we tend to fill up the blank. Imagine when somebody has mm-hmm. to call you and the person didn't call you. Right away, you're like, oh, I cannot believe that he didn't call or she didn't call. We don't think about all the possible reasons as to why. The same is true with this type of grief that I do experience with people a lot. When I don't know what caused somebody to take their lives, I'm going to intake the blame. And so I'll blame myself. That's one of the things that is really prominent. And as your grief and the loss and this whole process of transition is not something we get over. We grieve because we love. If we didn't love the person,
mm-hmm.
we would be thinking about the person. So the guilt is just the beginning part of it. But as we grow and as we become more used to this relationship, to this grief, we get to recreate, and we call it continued mm-hmm. bonding in the grief counseling world. We recreate a relationship. So for mm-hmm. all of the I should have, I want you to think of what you actually did do. And also think that we are not omnipotent. I know it would be a lot easier if I could control everything and everybody. It would make my life a lot easier. But I know that I can't. I can only control my actions. And I can take upon myself the actions and reactions of others.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that comes across my desk is domestic violence. Kenneth Doka came up with the term disenfranchised grief to talk about grief that is usually not sanctioned, not talked about. An example would be if there's an affair and somebody, the person dies, the affair is a secret. So the person who lost that individual can't grieve, or perinatal mm-hmm. death. If you lose a child within that is maybe a couple months old, within your belly, were you a parent? Mm-hmm. Did I already have a child? When I have is it a second child? So that's like disenfranchised grief. And domestic violence is one of those where when we leave that significant other, we have the right to be sad because when we got with that person, we did love and we did have a relationship. And I find that individuals feel that they don't have the right to grieve
mm-hmm.
Because how dare I? My significant other abused me emotionally, perhaps physically, mentally. What is wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. You are going into the new normal, and it takes a transitional process, and know that it is okay to experience mm-hmm. all of those emotions. So that's what comes across my desk a lot.
Wow. I know, you know, because I'm the great encourager, I get a lot of things, and I'm like, now, was I supposed to get a counseling degree? I've had everything, and my following is not just women. A lot of women are called to women. I'm called to the masses. And so men reach out to me as well. And so I've had men reach out to me who are in the middle of divorces, and in some capacity, I've had some that have reached out to me where the wife was the controller, and he felt like, you know, she didn't tell him that she was on leave. She just picked up, she left the kids. I mean, he took the kids and left him, and he felt powerless. That's how he felt throughout, the marriage anyway.
Yeah.
And then I would have the other way around where the woman was the rug and the man was the controller, and she did everything he said do, but she could never do anything right. So when I tell you I have every aspect coming to me that I'm like, okay, let me let you all speak to this tonight, and then we're going to open up the phone lines in a few moments to see if anyone have any questions. Because, you know, it's time for people to be healed and not be stuck. I hate to talk to someone that's been divorced for 25 years and they're still stuck in that place of he left me 25 years ago. No.
Absolutely.
No.
One thing, and Jennifer talked about the word homeostasis, and sometimes I had a client at the beginning of the year that she left a relationship and she got into another. And let's say that my previous relationship was abusive, so every time there would be a fight, so everything that I said, I had to walk on eggshells. When I go into the next relationship, I am carrying that with me, so I'm still going to be walking around eggshells. So when I notice that the other person is not reacting the same way as my previous relationship, two things tend to happen. Either I'm like, and now I need to relearn how to react and to be able to change my experience, or I'll keep on whittling the new person so they will react the same way my previous one did, because that's what I know. So it's how can we become aware? Again, I'll say with awareness comes action. Now, when you talked about that empowerment, it really made me think about my niche, what Advocate to Create started was through immigrant victims of domestic violence. I used to work at an immigration law firm. My sister's an immigration attorney. And while I was doing my master's in counseling, I saw a lot of victims of domestic violence, but they were immigrant victims. And what would happen is professionals, being a psychologist, counselors, first responders, oftentimes are not, many are, but oftentimes are not aware of, okay, so if this person's an immigrant victim, how does that change the game now? Can I call the police? Can I not call the police? If this person is undocumented. And one of the things that I saw is there are things out there, like the Violence Against Women Act, U visa, if it's trafficking, the T visa. So when I started Advocate to Create, I actually created trainings that talked about the gap between the legal aspects of our country and our immigration and these victims, because immigration status is a huge power that one individual has over the other. It can be what really creates that domestic relationship, because abuse comes from power, wanting that power. And abuse is not always physical. Actually, it only gets to the physical when the mental and the emotional are not working to the abuser's liking, if I may. So there's that misconception. One of the trainings and one of the things that we do is we talk about the barriers and misconceptions and how I use waivers like the Violence Against Women Act, which is a misnomer because it's Violence Against Individuals Act, because it is for men as well as women that the Violence Against Women Act applied to. And it helps you therapeutically to change that thinking from being a victim to being a survivor. We're changing that narrative from victim to survivor, because it allows the individual to petition for self. So that power that the abuser has is no longer present.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say, just to add to that, because I know we got to open up the line for callers, to go back to your question about, you know, like that scenario about the relationships and one being on the perspective of the man, the other being the perspective of the woman, one thing I will say is that infidelity, domestic violence, depression, feeling as though you've been abandoned, all of those kinds of things that come up. One thing I will tell you, that those things don't have statuses. Those things don't have ethnicities. Those things don't have social economic statuses. Those things do not have age. Those things do not have gender. Those things can happen to anyone. So if anyone, you know, using the example that you said, if anyone is kind of battling with some of those things, I know myself personally, I've battled with some of those things in the past, and is that, you know, internalizing those ideas and thinking, looking at yourself and saying, it's me, all of me, isn't the best place to start. Being self-reflective and saying, okay, what was my part in the responsibility of how things turn out? Because we all played a role in it. But what was my part, my responsibility in it? But staying away from the lingering questions of why me, how come me, you know, or the thoughts of that, you know, I can't believe this is my life. Honoring those, but not staying there, because staying there, you, like you said, you'll turn out 25 years later and you're still stuck in the same place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we're going to open up the phone line for questions, but before we do that, share your website information and contact information on how they can reach out to you guys and book an appointment with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are on Facebook under Advocate to Create, the number 2, Create. That's our Facebook page, as well as we have 2 offices right now. We have a South location. If you're here in South Florida, we're located in Doral, Florida. And Patricia is in that particular space there. Her contact number to schedule appointments, whether it be for counseling or related to trainings that she talked about or consultations and things like that, her number is 305-482-3366. Again, it's 305-482-3366. I'm in the North location. However, I can definitely travel down to the Doral area, but North, meaning in South Florida, is Miami Gardens, North Miami, Aventura, Hollywood area. And so my information is 305-791-6046. Again, it's 305-791-6046. AdvocateToCreate.com is the website, and what's awesome about us is that we truly embedded into the multiculturalism perspective, which really talks about being able to recognize that there's differences and yet uniqueness in all of us. So Patricia and me, we both speak English in our sessions. However, Patricia is blessed to be able to, because she's a native from Brazil, she speaks Portuguese fluently as well as Spanish fluently as well, so she can provide those services for those.
Perfect, perfect. Oh, that was very comprehensive, so thank you very much. You can also reach via email at either Ginevra@advocatetocreate.com or Patricia@advocatetocreate.com. So, again, it's just our first name at advocatetocreate.com is another way of reaching out to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you all have a website as well?
Yes, it's www.advocate2create.com. We are very blessed to be able to take on this private practice, you know, full term and really grow it with some amazing backings. And so me and Patricia actually we just signed off to have our webpage relaunched. And so around September the 15th, September the 16th, we'll keep everybody updated via Facebook, but we will relaunch that website. But as of right now, our old website is there. It was from a dear friend of Patricia who's no longer living with us. He passed away quite a bit ago. He helped kind of facilitate that. We are going to do a relaunch in about a month. So we're pretty excited about that.
That is awesome, ladies. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, guys, if you have any questions for these awesome, awesome ladies here, I mean, they've given us some great information to help you transition and kind of maybe even help a family member or a friend that you know that's stuck. You know, share this broadcast so they can go back and listen to it. But also, if you have a question or comment, press 1. You do not have to say your name unless you want to. You can remain anonymous. Remember that there is no question that is off limits as far as, you know, many times people feel like, oh, that's a dumb question. There's no such thing as a dumb question, number one. And number two, someone else feels like they need to know the answer, but they're too afraid to ask the question. So, again, you can remain anonymous. And whatever question you want to ask these two ladies, press 1 and you can ask your question now. Here we go. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. Great evening to you. Thank you for dialing in.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Linda, and I came in at the very, very tail end of the show, ladies and Aaliyah, but you were talking about being stuck or getting unstuck. I have a question for them. Do you find it to be more prevalent in regards to people feeling stuck in a certain age range? Do you find it more toward people going into middle age, more so than you do like the millennial generation?
Oh, that's a very good question. I mean, I work mostly from adolescent to adulthood, and I would say usually people say, oh, they're stuck in their ways. The more you grow, the more stuck in your ways you are. But what I would say is the more experience you have, the more experience you have to back you up and to go back to and be able to analyze. The truth is that I haven't really seen age to be of issue in being able to move forward or not with the stuckness. A lot of the times it is more related to being open to it, being open and wanting to get to a place. Right? And usually we say we can never force somebody to go there. I cannot be on step 5 while my client is on step 1 and expect my client to meet me, much to the contrary. I have to meet the client where they are so I can help through the transition. So I'll let Jay be able to express that, but that's been my experience so far.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Linda, for the question, for sure. I think that it's, you know, this idea of stuckness is very subjective. I think it's based upon what is it that you define to be stuck, right? And how did you know? So I like to ask a lot of people to ask a lot of self-reflective questions, and meaning of what is my stuckness? When did my stuckness begin? Who knows about my stuckness? How long has my stuckness been present? Because I don't even have to know what the actual thing is. I don't have to know that I'm stuck in a relationship. I don't have to know I'm stuck in, you know, at a particular job or a place of employment, or I'm stuck with my finances or whatever. I don't even have to know what your stuckness is, because that's the marvelous thing about being self-reflective is and working with mental health professionals like me and Patricia, is that that part doesn't really matter. It's how you think about it. You know, when you're able to sit and ask yourself those different questions of what is my stuckness, who knows about my stuckness, when did my stuckness come, how long has it been here, how intense is my stuckness, you know, when does it come, when does it leave? If you're able to get more clarity around that, you're able to maneuver it a little bit different. It's almost kind of being able to take it out from internally inside, putting it outside of you like a sheet of paper, and being able to maneuver it. So I would definitely encourage you or anyone else that is kind of in that area of stuckness is to be able to move it a bit. You know, it's not stagnant. You know, you can kind of move it around a bit, and the closer you're able to examine it, the more you can do with it. It's not as foreign with you anymore. So there's not a particular, I say, age range or a particular gender or a particular ethnic background. I think it's more of just really what is stuckness to you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And
oh, you're very welcome.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Okay, I thought someone was saying something else. Okay. All right, well, thank you so much for dialing in, Linda. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, did we have another question or comment? Guys, like I said, if you have a question, feel free to answer it. You do not have to introduce yourself or give your name, but I am sure that there are others with the question that you have, but maybe they are not brave enough to step up and ask the question. So, you know, if you have a question, guys, be sure to press it. What I did notice for me, making that transition from the IT world into pursuing, okay, God, what is my purpose? That was very scary. But I do know that at that age, at that age range, it was like, okay, I no longer want to do this. It made me good money. I did well in what I did, but there was like an emptiness there. There was a void. And I was like, I don't see myself in doing this another 20 years and having an unfulfilled life. You know, I tell you, I look forward to doing this broadcast each and every week. I've been doing it for 2 years and 8 months as of tomorrow. Okay. That's my 2 year Thank you. But when you know, it's got to be something more to motivate you than money, because there comes a point in your life where the money doesn't matter. And sometimes I'm, you know, as I would talk to other women and men, many of them would tell me, oh, I hit 30 or I hit 35. And if they were not doing their dream job, so to speak, it was like, okay, this ain't it anymore. Oh, yeah. Do you all see those as well?
A lot of the times it is like, I've already put so much of my time into this specific thing, and I don't want to see that as a waste of time. And I love how you phrase it, which is, I've done the IT for this amount. Is that what I want to do going into the future? So rather than looking at it from, and I remember that cognitive shift is, this has been part of a chapter in my life. Now, what do I want the next chapter to be like? Now, what's interesting, when you're talking about the stuckness, one of the things that came to my mind, oftentimes when we're stuck, we have what we call the meta anxiety, which is, I don't want to think about what it is, whatever that stuckness is. So I get anxious about being anxious over thinking about it. And it just creates that vicious cycle. So I'm never really able to think about whatever it is that I believe stuckness to be, and to be able to really enter it. So it's kind of like the guards to the door. Like, I want to be able to pass through the door, but the guards are fighting me. But the guards are only myself. Is that meta anxiety? Once I'm able to pass through it and maybe put things down on paper, what are the things that will allow me to proceed, to process, to just take half a step to the direction I want to be? And do like smaller, like write down, make that abstract into something tangible. One of the things that I usually tell my clients a lot, and I do it, I kind of like, I'm that crazy lady that talks to herself, because when we do that inner talk, just in our minds, and it never comes out, well, think about the first rule of thermodynamics. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So when we're thinking, but we're only thinking inward, we are not allowing new energy to come in and other energy to come out. So that thought, that inner thought gets rotten. And think about it. When you start thinking of something that it's anxiety provoking and it's only inwards, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's like that snowball that gets really big. But sometimes when we say it and you hear yourself talk, you're kind of like, what the hell was I thinking? Because you finally allowed that old energy to come out and new energy to come in. Like crying. Oh my God, I'm so relieved after that cry. Because you allow things to process out. So I one of the biggest tips that I would say is allow things to come out, so then you can really go into that next step.
That's good. That's good. Because so many people won't cry. They want to be so strong and, you know, carry the world on their shoulders, when internally they're doing so much more harm than good.
Absolutely.
And crying is such a sign of strength, because to cry, to allow that stuff to come out, you're just allowing for more space inwards. And there's this whole construction of crying being the opposite of strength, but I think it takes a guts to be able to cry in front of people, to cry to yourself. it takes courage to allow that out.
Wow. Wow, wow. And guys, don't be shy now. We have two therapists on the line, a licensed counselor, marriage and therapist, a marriage and family therapist. If you have a question, you know, ask it. You, this is the time. You do not have to share your name. If you want to remain anonymous, that is fine. But your questions are going to help somebody else. Because, again, they have the same question. They're just not brave enough to press that one. So if you have a question or comment about tonight's show, press one and we'll bring you live. Again, if you do not want to be heard as far as your name to be known, you don't have to share your name. But whatever question or comment you have for these ladies, I tell you, they have given us some good stuff. I like that being intentional about your thoughts and, you know, and allowing yourself to think and allowing yourself to be by yourself and listen to your thoughts. You know, listen to all of that. That is just, that's good. That's really good.
And then my mentor, he talks about, Dr. James Rudess, he talks about being able to be accountable and responsible to self. And I'm really big into, I love Steve Harvey. I love Oprah, you know. I love some of those goodies sometimes that they have, and they share those nuggets. And one of the things Steve Harvey talks about is being willing to jump and being not knowing where you're going to land and how you're going to land and how is the impact of that jump is going to be. But the fact that you can jump, you can say that you jumped, whereas some people in life can't ever say that they ever jumped. They were, you know, the anxiety or the intensity of the moment was just too big for them. It swallowed them whole, so they've never been able to jump. But with jumping, the thing about it is that you can land and you can parachute and it's going to be a beautiful land. Sometimes that thing may crash, burn, and blow up. But the fact is that you did jump. I say all that is to say that a lot of times, whether it's, and to the listeners as well, is that whatever question that you may have, you've been struggling with, one, consider this is a free promo. No, I'm just joking. You can answer it now. You call me later, I'm going to charge you. No, I'm just joking. But no, seriously, it's the fact of that sometimes when we're not willing to jump, a lot of times it's not us jumping for us. We think it is. But a lot of times it's connected to the fact of that if I jump and if I don't jump, that the person, the door that needs to be open for the other person can't be open unless I'm willing to walk into my destiny and walk into my purpose. And I know that's what you talk about, Leah, a lot of times on this show, is the idea of walking into your purpose, understanding your purpose, who am I, where am I going, where have I come from, and being able to answer those questions. And a lot of times you can't unlock that door. A lot of times your inability to jump is holding up 10 people behind you that could pull in and do some awesome things in this world. But because we allow anxiety to be so high, not understanding that we all have a certain level of anxiety that we all live with. That's why we have deadlines. That's why we have tests. And that's why we have payments that we make sure we pay them people on time or they don't come jack up our car, you know, and all of those different things. We do that because there's already created, embedded with us, a level of social anxiety. And so that's fine. But a lot of times we allow anxiety to swallow us up whole. So, you know, same thing with the questions that you guys, you know, that you're holding back of answering. And again, it's okay if you don't ask us now. You can more than feel free to give us a call, you know, or send us an email or whatnot. But whatever it is, I will say, whatever it is that you are struggling with and you've been questioning or you know, have some, you know, some reservation around, is that I will say, if nothing else, jump. Because a lot of times your jump is contingent upon somebody else's breakthrough. Or somebody else's ability to get into a space where they can then maneuver and do some different things in their lives or for lives of other people.
You know, that really makes me think about my testimony. Patricia, did you have something to add to that first?
I think one thing that I would like to put out there, and I loved what Ginevra said, and I guess there's some of the coping skills that I found both personally and professionally that has helped. One of them is the idea of the self. Now, Ginevra said earlier, the most important relationship you have is with self. And self is the person who understands you the most. So one of the things that I do, and I advocate for my clients to do, and again, I'm the crazy lady around, go in front of the mirror. Who better to talk to than yourself? but do it out loud. The mirror might actually have answers for you. Don't do it internally. Another thing I'm going to borrow from Parks and Recreation, treat yourself. It's really important all the time. Whenever we think of self-care, like things that will make me feel better is the first thing that goes out the window when I have things that I need to get done. So Ginevra was saying, like, I need to pay the rent. I need to hustle for A, B, C, and D. So anything that was for me to feel good, I'm going to put that to the side because it is luxury, it's frivolous. Self-care is not luxury. It's a necessity. Think about in the plane, when you're in the plane, I remember, like, when they would say, first put the mask on yourself before you, if, like, there's an issue, mask, oxygen mask come down, first you put it on yourself and then on your child. When I was younger, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm probably going to put it on my child first before I put it on myself. But it wasn't until I became a mental health clinician when I'm like, okay, so if I put it on my child first and I'm running out of oxygen, now I cannot properly put it in my child, and I probably might die of asphyxiation, and my child will die with me. So put it in yourself so you can breathe. You can be good in order to be able to save your child, in order to be able to be there for others. So work on the relationship with self, if it is through mindfulness. If it's for me, I need to let out my anxiety. I need to do a workout on a daily basis. Workout and eat are the two things that really help me. But it's just, it's things that soothe me that I know cannot go out the window. They are part of my self-care routine. So talk to yourself, talk out loud. Be mindful, be present. Really treat yourself. So you can have a good relationship with self and therefore with others.
Love it, love it, love it. When you were saying, she was saying something to the effect of you are, you know, your jumping out there is not necessarily just for you, but for someone else. I know even with me starting the show is a spinoff of the book that the Lord gave me called On Fire to Inspire as well. And when he was telling me to write the book, I was like, okay, I'm a children's author. And I'm like, okay, how do I tell my creator who I am? But anyway, so then when he said do the show, my thing was, dude, a radio broadcast, are you kidding me? I know nothing about that. And one of the things he said to me was, there are too many lives tied into your obedience. And I'm like, woo. So it really made me think about when you said that, Ginevra. And not only that, I've had people come to me via chat, text, you know, on the show and say, you know, I was suicidal before I met you. And, you know, you having this broadcast, you being obedient, you sharing your posts of inspiration and encouragement, it has spoke to me. It has helped me through this. And I'm like, wow. So you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who needs you to be you. And so many people are trying to be like others when you just need to step up and be yourself.
Absolutely.
Yes. And one more thing, ladies, because I don't seem to have the ones that want to step up tonight, but I know the questions they ask me, so that's why I'm talking. So the ones who, the mothers, you have so many women that have lost themselves in their children. Now their children are going off to college, and they have empty nests because guess what? For the past 18 years, they've been nothing but mom. What would you say to those women who are now trying to figure out who they are again?
Date yourself. I love how you put it. Redefine. Let me read because we have so many hats we wear. Right, we are mothers. We're working women. We are wives. We are so many things. And when we become mothers, the mother becomes the first and foremost hat. Right. So now that your child is going away, it's not thinking of my child is going away, but let me redefine that relationship. Now that my child is an adult, what will the relationship look like? how is it that now I can be a woman first, and maybe not first, but together with the mother, not so behind it. Rediscover yourself. During this time, often is when we see couples going through a transition because their normal is different from what it was. Now they get to spend time with each other, which they hadn't for 18 years. You're able to rediscover them separately and then together. And we go through this thing where, like, right away we want to get together, but it's not the same as it was before. Of course not. Here's one box. You changed. So it is okay for our relationship to be different. It just, it grows in a different way. So take the advantage to, all right, let me see what this new normal has for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I always tell clients this. I'm a huge fan of this, sitting with self. I think it's a narrative therapy kind of ideology, but it's called saying hello to yourself. Okay, because for 18 years, believe it or not, you've been saying goodbye to self. Longer and not as frequently as you have been saying hello to self. And so, one, it's going to be a self-reflective, you know, time to sit with self and say, okay, what did I used to enjoy? What do I still enjoy that I no longer do? What are some things that I used to do that I no longer like to do? Who am I? Like, I know my name is Ginevra, but what does that mean? What is that connected to? Is my meaning now connected to the fact that I'm a mental health professional? Is my name connected to the fact that you know, I'm this family-oriented person? But being able to dissect self, I use one of my other mentors, Gabriella Mayon. She, in working with the College Reach Out Program, which is a grant-funded program through the Florida Department of Education that Barry University has received for so many years, since 1999, that we use a technique or an activity called the Mandela. And in the Mandela, what it does is it's a circle. And it has like 6 or 7 lines above it. And above it, I ask clients, or I ask people in general, I give this to friends and just anyone that I feel is struggling with this concept of like, man, my life is like, you know, different, or it's changing and I'm not quite, you know, I can't get my footing with it. I give them this. And on those 6 lines, I ask people to stop and think about yourself. What makes up you? Right. And whether that be my relationship with Christ, whether that be my relation, you know, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a banker, you know, and I have them to put down on those lines the prominent things that make you up, you know, that describes you. And then in that circle, it's kind of like I tell them, it's like a pie, it's like a pizza pie. I want you to take those items that you put up above and I want you to divide them into that circle. And that circle is a representation of you. I don't tell them how each part is supposed to be equally laid out. I don't tell them, you know, how much of self to put in each part. It's truly a way of one sitting with self and seeing, okay, what are the biggest components of me? What has shifted and what pieces represent what part of me? And then it's literally a time to be self-reflective. I tell people all the time, if you're not sitting with self several times a day, if you're not saying hello to self several times a day, you're saying goodbye to self. And you're not truly walking and living the life that you truly want to live. So I definitely encourage people to say hello to self and getting accustomed to other areas of their lives that this one title or two titles have kind of taken over. I think that we all kind of do that from time to time because of the many hats that we wear. I can speak for me and say at least within the past 10 years, you know, I've been in college for 10 years. Lord have mercy, Jesus. But for 10 years, you know, I've been in college. And so my identity for a very long time has been I am a college student. So I'm transitioning out of that now that me and Patricia were both, and that's how we met, was in our doctoral program at Barry University here in Miami, Florida. We're now at the ending stages of that. So we're now in dissertation phase. And so a lot of it is now transitioning out of being a college student, though still working full-time and working in the field, but now being dropping one of those titles in some sense. So if we don't sit with ourselves enough to figure out what are the other aspects of us, what are the other prominent pieces for whatever reason that have kind of been overshadowed or put to the side, we could very much fall and get stuck, go back to the stuckness, right, into the identity or the title that has always been there. But that's not the totality of who we are. We're bigger than mothers. We're bigger than wives. We're bigger than mental health professionals. We're much more, much richer than that. So that's what the sitting with self process does, and that's what we do in our practice, is we encourage that. We provide education on that, the knowledge piece of that, so people become aware of that. And then once you become aware, you can do. And so that's what we encourage for people.
Absolutely.
Wow. So you ladies just let one title leave, and then once you complete this dissertation, you all will be gaining another one.
Absolutely. I've been trying to figure out what I want friends and families to call me. You know, I don't know if I want Dr. Pearson, if I want Dr. J. I don't know. I'm going to even have my grandmother calling me Dr. J. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down, but it's exciting. It's exciting for sure.
Wow. You ladies have been truly, truly been a blessing tonight. Did you have anything that, and I try to normally, you know, grasp what you guys are saying and type it in the little event itself, because a lot of times people ask questions or make comments in there. But you all, I've just been so consumed in what you all were saying. I didn't get to take but like one note or two. So y'all feel free to go into that and make some notes.
We got you. We definitely got you on that.
But did you all have any final, well, before we do that, I want you to tell them again how they can reach out to Advocate to Create, how they can, to, if they're in the area, get counseling through you guys. Do you all do online or anything like that for people who are in other states to say, hey, I need them?
So because of licensing, these are some of the things that it depends where the person resides. If they reside in Florida, if they reside outside of Florida, that's when it comes to counseling. When it comes to, let's say, for doing training or consultation, going to different organizations and talking about coping skills, if it is transition, grief and loss, family systems, domestic violence, immigration, then that we can do anywhere at any time. Actual counseling, it depends, and these are one of the things that we're working on how to look at the transferability, right, of being able to provide services in different states. The state of Florida has a very comprehensive requirement. Do it here. We can do it in any place.
Florida, state of Florida is very interesting. But I wouldn't practice anywhere else. I will say that we each are very well connected to other states. Like I graduated my master's in marriage and family therapy within the state of Georgia. So I have wonderful clinicians for referrals that I truly would send family members and people that I truly love to. So if someone's in the state of Florida, we can definitely assist with that and provide other resources and referrals to be able to, if someone wants to continue on with the therapeutic component of that relationship. However, I say everyone to move to Florida, South Florida, and come down here and see us. We definitely would love to assist in having some wonderful conversations. I call them dinner table conversations, collaborative dinner table conversations with our clients and potential clients. But the trainings and the consultations, for sure, you can definitely reach out to us, and we're able to go wherever that needs to be. To be able to reach us, again, it's www.create2create.com. Again, www.advocate2create.com. We're all on Facebook at advocate.com, as well as Patricia's email is her first name, Patricia, PATRICIA, at advocate2create.com. And mine is Ginevra, JEANEVRA, at advocatetocreate.com. Our phone numbers, again, for those that are in the South Florida area, for Doral, for Patricia, her number is 305-482-3366. Again, that's 305-482-3366. And, again, I'm up north. However, I'll travel down south. It is 305-791-6046. Again, 305-791-6046. And so you can definitely contact us via phone, via email, the pages as well, and we can definitely assist. We're in the Miami, for those that are not, you're trying to figure out what's the north and south. We're in the Miami, Hollywood, you know, North Miami area. And so you can definitely reach out to us there.
All right. Perfect. Well, ladies, we thank you again. You have been a true, true blessing. You have shined so bright on many things, and I think some people got help tonight, and they will be able to walk and be better and not bitter. And we truly,
absolutely,
truly thank you, and we praise God for you and Advocate to Create, and we speak blessings over your business, and we thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Aaliyah, for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
And we definitely are saying congratulations to your 2 years and 8 months with On Fire and Inspired.
Mm-hmm.
The book, she's an awesome author. I've actually used one of her books. I think it was the Affirmations book. I've actually used that actually clinically with clients. So she has awesome books. I think she has 3 books out, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
that are out. So she's an awesome author. Look her up on Amazon and check her out for sure. But we do definitely appreciate the time to connect with us. And if nothing else, get out mental health awareness. So we definitely appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. And if I could, I think the last tidbit that I would really like to leave it with, again, I have to bring up Dr. Sylvia Reyes. She's such an amazing individual and mentor. She used to say, finding a therapist is kind of like buying a shoe. You wouldn't buy a shoe that's too big or too small and is uncomfortable. It has to fit, right? And so with that, I mean, let's say you come to us or you go to somebody and you go for a therapy session. Remember, that's where you're going to take off your mask and be comfortable. Not every therapist is for every client and vice versa.
Absolutely.
So you don't like, you don't feel comfortable, you're not going to offend us. Just say, you know, I don't feel comfortable with you. Can you help me find somebody else, or just go and find somebody else? But do allow yourself to feel comfortable with somebody and to know that maybe the first or second therapist or counselor you go to might not be it. But don't get discouraged. Somebody will be there for you. I always tell my client at the end of a session, if I'm not for you, somebody will be, and I'll try my best to help you find that person. So that's the last note that I want to give out.
And you know what, Patricia, that is true. And that truly shows where your heart is, because many times people won't be that open to say, hey, if we're not a good fit, I'll still help find someone. See, people, if that's when
absolutely,
it's just about money, then they could care less whether you find somebody else or not. But you're saying,
absolutely,
hey, my heart is to help you. If I can't personally help you, I still want to help you. So I commend you, and you all are truly, truly going to be a blessing to the masses because of your heart. And thank you again.
Awesome.
No,
thank you
so much for this opportunity and this platform that you've created.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Y'all have a great night, and we welcome y'all back anytime, okay?
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. So, guys, we had a great, great session tonight with Advocate to the Create with Ginevra Pearson and Patricia Timmerman. I tell you, they have been a blessing to us. And you want to share this broadcast tonight with family, friends, because there are some people that are stuck. And it's time to help them move forward in the things that they were called to, the things that God has created them to live, that life and that abundant life here on this side of earth. So we are here each and every week, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week's topic is overcoming your past with Pastor Jacinta Mello out of Canada. And she and her husband co-pastors, and they have 6 churches in other countries where they do a lot of missionary work. So we're going to have people talking about, you know, overcoming moving in this transitioning in your life. So I, you know, my thing is to help you live a happy, healthy life in every aspect of your life. It's time to stop existing and start living the life that God created you to live. Again, I have three books if you want to go out to Amazon and purchase one. We have a children's book entitled A Learning Book Just For Me. It's a bilingual sing-along teaching in English and Spanish. It is available in paperback, and it's available as an ebook. Then we have On Fire to Inspire, the actual book. It's available on paperback, ebook, and audio. If you want the audio CD, you would actually email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com, and that is spelled out, onfire2toinspire@gmail.com. And finally, the final book is Affirmations, Prayers, Affirmations, and Declarations. That is currently an ebook, but it's a book of different prayers, affirmations, and declarations of different things that you can apply to your life that's applicable to your life. Prayers about unity in the community, prayers about wives, prayers for husbands, prayer for your children, just different prayers and affirmations affirming that you understand that you are unique, you are wonderfully made, you are virtuous, despite what you've been through, despite what you may currently be going through. Your situation is not your present situation is not your future. So God has ordained you to have a life and have that abundant life here on earth. But you got to do like Patricia said, you got to shift your thinking, and you got to make sure that that thinking lines up with something positive, and it needs to be based on the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, shift it on out your mindset, because it don't belong to you. You got to understand what belongs to you, and that life abundant, that abundance in your life of every aspect, not just monetarily, but an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of love. That is your portion. So I am Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire. Looking forward to speaking to you guys next week. Same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell your friends, tell your family, and we'll talk again. Have a blessed week, you guys.